Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Get these folks from the press who follow me around asking me, do people in Iowa love you, Governor? And, you know, and I say, heck, I don't know, we just met. But the early indications are good.
So, people, what's on your calendar for Tuesday, January 5th, 2016? Go ahead, pull out your phone and check. We can wait. Mine just says host the Brian Lehrer Show. But the real question is, what does Chris Christie's calendar say for the day of the 2016 Iowa Republican caucuses? They are 18 months away, and the speculation, only increased after last week, is already starting about how serious the New Jersey governor is about his presidential ambitions. As you can imagine, trips like the one he took to Marion, Iowa last week don't help tamp down that speculation. So how's he doing? Washington Post national political correspondent Karen Tumulty was with Christie in Marion all last week. Let's get a national view on one of our local govs. Karen, welcome back to WNYC. Hi there.
Thanks a lot. It's great to be here.
So we know, obviously, why you and the rest of the national political journalism class says Chris Christie is in Iowa. But does he even acknowledge that that's why he's there?
Well, it was funny. He was there in his capacity as head of the Republican Governors Association. So he did a couple of fundraisers for the governor, Terry Branstad, who is not in any kind of political trouble, and a couple of other fundraisers. So he, you know, that was sort of the official agenda for the trip. But yeah, everywhere he went, he would kind of drop these hints like, let's stay focused on November. And then as soon as we get past this election, I'll be seeing you. You know, so there was a real flirtation there.
You know, here in the tri-state area, we're increasingly familiar with names like Bridget Ann Kelly. We know that Chris Christie went to high school with Export Authority official David Wildstein. We know that the George Washington Bridge was a nightmare last September, even, you know, with the because of the mysterious lane closures. But what do the voters of Iowa know about Bridgegate in particular?
You know, I asked a lot of people just sort of, you know, as I would run into them. Now, mind you, this was a Republican crowd, but most people in Iowa, even though there are still two investigations going on into this and we don't know what they're going to yield, they just kind of saw it as, you know, a fixation of the media and a fixation of the Democrats. But, you know, as the county chairman in Davenport told me, she said, you know what, I take him at his word.
I saw some NBC polling over the weekend that seemed to indicate that Rand Paul is the front runner, if there is a front runner at this point among the Republicans, if you don't count Undecided, who I think is the real front runner, but that Christie's negatives are up nationally, even among Republicans, compared to before Bridgegate. Have you seen those numbers? And do you have any sense, you know, from your perspective as an analyst, regardless of what seemed to be on the ground, the crowd reaction in Iowa last week, of how damaged Christie is as a Republican primary candidate by Bridgegate?
I think it has, you know, again, his whole national persona was as the truth teller, and you know, it's, yeah, he's been damaged by it. But I think in the long run, his real problem is what's going on in the ground now in New Jersey. Because if you're running as an incumbent governor, what you need to be able to tell is a story of a successful tenure as an incumbent governor. And right now, economic growth in New Jersey is lagging behind the rest of the country. Right now, he's got a budget problem that he's got to dig himself out of. There are some real questions about his decisions not to make payments into the pension fund. I think in the long run, those kind of questions, assuming nothing major comes out of these investigations, those are going to be the ones he has to answer. And in places like Iowa, where social conservatives really dominate in those presidential caucuses, he's got
some other problems
there as well.
More of these polling numbers. This is from Marist. 20% of the potential Republican electorate in Iowa are undecided about their choice for a 2016 GOP nominee. Undecided in first place, undisputed. Jeb Bush, Rand Paul, and Paul Ryan, each at 12%. Christie at 8%, along with Rick Perry, Rick Santorum, Ted Cruz, Marco Rubio, all around 8%. I guess basically if you're a Republican with great hair, you can get 8% of the vote in Iowa right now.
And let's face it, it's early, even for people in Iowa and New Hampshire, it's early. And they don't know what the mix is going to be. I think Chris Christie's viability looks a lot different if Jeb Bush decides to run than if he doesn't. So these kinds of horse races now where you're not really looking at the actual field, you're looking at basically anybody who might be in the field, there is a real lack of reality to it.
And, you know, besides you, our own New Jersey Public Radio reporter Matt Katz was in Iowa last week reporting on how most of the voters that you all spoke with didn't even want to talk policy when it came to Christie. It was all about style. Here's a little of what Matt had to say on our air.
If you want to be universally loved in this business, then you're the absolute poster boy for being ineffective. I don't care about being loved. I care about being respected.
Obviously, that was a clip of the governor, as collected by Matt Katz in Iowa. If you want to be universally loved in this business, you're the poster boy for being ineffective. I don't care about being loved. I care about being respected, was that clip. So even though we played the other soundbite earlier of Christie sort of reveling in being loved in Iowa, he turns it around here and, you know, revels in his famous brusque tone.
And he's got celebrity going for him. And that, you know, that is why people show up. There was a table full of teenagers that at this restaurant where he stopped in Marion. You know, they had brought 4 photographs of him for him to autograph. They had brought 2 baseballs. They had, you know, it's right now it's political tourism, I think, not only for the candidates, but for the voters as well.
What do you get on eBay for a Chris Christie baseball? Never mind. And he's generally shied away from taking a stance on the immigration debate. And unlike, say, Rick Perry, he isn't in a state that's considered one of the flashpoints for the issue. But I did read that in Iowa he said he had, quote, great empathy, unquote, for children who come across the border, and said that in New Jersey, quote, we'll take every request that comes based on its merits. He's talking about asylum requests. And make those decisions. That sounds more like Bill de Blasio than a typical Republican.
Yeah, and this, by the way, is a raging issue in Iowa as well, because the governor there has said that they will not take any of these children, and a lot of the Democratic politicians are accusing him of being inhumane. But, you know, asked about immigration, Chris Christie kind of checked the box and, you know, accused President Obama of being insufficient at securing the border. And then from there on out, he hedged everything.
Would it be accurate to call Rand Paul the front runner at this point? Or is that going ridiculously out on a limb on someone who never could get the Republican nomination because of his isolationism on foreign policy?
Well, I think he is the most interesting at this point, because the real youth and the real energy right now in the Republican coalition, and you hear this from people like Tim Pawlenty, from people on the ground in South Carolina, the real energy is coming from the libertarian strain of Republicanism, and he gives voice to that. So I think that he is, at a minimum, going to have an impact on how all the other candidates have to talk about some of these issues.
So where's Christie's next stop now that he's been to Iowa last week? Do we know yet? That, you know, a stop that could be interpreted as more campaigning for 2016?
August 1st, New Hampshire. But tomorrow he will be holding a town hall. I mean, I think in the long run, the most important thing for him to do for his to benefit any presidential aspirations he may have is to make sure that he has a successful tenure as governor of New Jersey. So he's got a town hall tomorrow on the shore to talk about the pension problems.
And before we can say that Bridgegate is, you know, water under the bridge in terms of a political scandal. We should remind everybody that there is a federal U.S. attorney investigation into criminal activity potentially related to Bridgegate. Nobody knows when that might be announced, that is, any indictments or a decision not to indict. But that's still got to be really hanging over the governor's head before we declare this beside the point around the country.
That's right. And when you talk to the Christie people, they bring that up. I think their sense is that the legislative investigation is starting to sort of run its course. But they, too, are very cognizant of the fact that that U.S. attorney's investigation is out there.
Washington Post national political correspondent Karen Tumulty was with Chris Christie in Marion, Iowa last week. Thank you very much.
Thank you.